Hello, and welcome to Eyewitness Beauty, the podcast where we talk about the biggest stories in the beauty industry each week. I'm Nick Axelrod Welk, joined as always by Diamond Kriegbaum, a.k.a. Annie Kriegbaum. And for that lovely listener who left a review on our Apple podcast site, whatever it's called. Anyway, can you explain the genesis of Diamond Kriegbaum?
I feel like it was a title that was bestowed upon me, but I'm happy to describe what I remember. We started using a transcription service at some point that, and this was, you know, when AI was in its infancy. So this was like a year ago. And they misunderstood Nick, who said my name, Annie Kriegbaum. It was transcribed Diamond. And then what was the last name?
Creek, like a creek in a, you know, in the woods. And then right. Bomb.
Yes.
Like a... And so we just started saying Diamond Kriegbaum. That's that.
Mm-hmm. That's that.
Oh, geez.
That if is... you thought this podcast had any depth, you've come to the wrong place.
But what's also funny is that I've seen a few reviews, not that I read them, that have said that we have soothing voices and that it's like soothing to listen to us. And I was like, that is the first time I've ever heard that about my voice.
My, how the times have changed, because it used to be that we had very irritating voices and that we vocal True. Fried, which I feel like, which I feel like is unfair.
We've beaten everyone into submission.
Like when everybody was speaking in like the continental accent in like the 40s, were people writing into the newspaper being like...
Like trolling?
Yeah, I can't stand these radio hosts with their... What do you think people talk... I know the continental accent wasn't actually how people spoke. It was just a Hollywood thing, right?
You know, I don't know. And I would be lying if I said I did.
God, real A-listers had such, I don't know, like an aura, like listening to Marilyn Monroe's voice, her like breathy, like.
I mean, the funny thing about Marilyn, about old Hollywood living in LA is like, I feel like every single apartment building in West Hollywood, like Marilyn Monroe lived there or like Charlie Chaplin lived there. Like, it's like these people just moved around. Either they moved around like month to month in all these different apartment buildings or someone's lying. But I feel like anywhere you go, it's like, you know, this was actually Marilyn Monroe's last apartment, her first apartment, her middle apartment.
One time on Craigslist, I saw a listing for a couch that said, once owned by Casey Affleck.
That is a big yikes.
And it was kind of around the time that I think he had some bad PR.
Yeah. Oof. Was it a joke or do you think it was true? Like real?
I think it was true. It looked maybe more talented but less famous younger brother's couch.
Okay.
Thespian.
I feel like we have a lot of beauty news to catch up on and it's going to take us in a lot of different directions. So we should get to it.
Okay, let's go.
I think, okay, there's one story which I think is our biggest of the week, but I also feel like supremely unqualified to talk about it and comment on it. But I'm just going to put it out there.
Because when has that ever stopped us?
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention it. The debut of Beyoncé's quote-unquote real hair in a video for her hair care brand Sacred hit TikTok, Instagram, I assume. Mm-hmm. It went obviously viral. And to me, my first reaction was like, oh shit, Sacred can't be doing that well. Because
like,
I don't
Beyonce,
think it was...
we need you. We need you.
Well,
for
it's
this
random
content.
That like 2 months after they launch, this is when they're like, you'd think they would launch with that. But I think probably she didn't want to do it. Or not that she didn't want to show her hair, but she like didn't want to be in a video for the brand or like that kind of video. Because like,
I mean, here's the deal. From what I read, and I'm so sorry if this is not true, but I believe she's completely financing the brand. So I feel like it's a little bit of a different scenario if versus her just being like, lending her, licensing her name out to something and appearing in, like, you know, a few interviews.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I was reading somewhere, I forget where, that, like, the issue with Sacred is that it should have been, like, Tina's brand as, like, a former salon owner and hairstylist. Like, that would have been the sort of authentic angle. But to make it Beyonce's and then to try to sort of, like, you know, like, squeeze in Miss Tina, like, into the narrative, like, got a little bit confusing. Because when Sacred launched, the number one, I feel like the number one comment was, like, but doesn't she wear wigs? And so that's why.
But that's why I was confused.
Right. But that, like, you, like many others, I guess, were confused.
No.
Oh.
I'm confused why people thought Beyonce wouldn't have great hair. And I'm pretty sure we've seen her without wigs, like, frequently. And a lot of celebrities wear wigs. So I don't know. That I was surprised to see the surprise over her revealing her real hair.
I don't know. As a white man, I don't feel like it's a discourse that I really can participate in. But
you'll be okay.
The only aspect of it I feel like I can comment on is that it didn't seem like something she was necessarily excited to do, given the timing.
She has that very regal kind of, forgive me, mother, resting bitch face all the time, though. Like, when's the last time we've saw Beyonce, like, grinning from ear to ear?
I don't think she has a sense of, I mean, she kind of was a little funny in the video, but I don't think she's known as someone with, like, a big sense of humor or, like, some big personality. I think she's a true performer. She's like a vessel.
Yeah, but she went through, like, her series or her, like, very silly, like, oh, I'm shopping at 7-Eleven and, like, making little iPhone videos. Remember that, like,
that video? I mean, I think that was creative direction. I mean, I feel like Beyonce's whole thing has been, like, I'm giving you everything on stage and in videos and, like, you know, the visuals and all this shit, but, like, you don't get any of me. And that's sort of, like, the understanding that we have with her. Like, she rarely grants interviews, and when she does, she, like, picks the photographer and she picks the interviewer. She has, you know, she, that's sort of been her thing. So I don't think either we don't have a sense of really who she is, or, like, she's just a normal person who, like, has a skill and is really good at her job. You know.
Got
and
it.
It's like, not, it's less about her being sort of, like, chatty in culture.
Well, speaking of celebrities and beauty, we've had an A-list week of beauty influencing.
Tell me.
Like, I sent you that. Well, did you get my text? Like, the Barbara Sturm dinner where she was sandwiched between Justin Theroux and Diane Kruger for her, like, face cream launch.
So here, you and I both know how, like, the economics of, you know, running a beauty brand, right? Like, roughly. So, like, having a dinner, you know, for 50 people, whatever, 75 people, whatever it is, at, like, Torrisi in New York is in the, you know, it's at least $100,000, if not more. Because you're, like, having to close down a restaurant, staff,
yeah,
everything, yeah, drinks,
yeah,
gifting, etc. And I just... explain to me, and I'm willing to be wrong, how throwing a dinner at an Italian restaurant to celebrate the launch of the Glow Cream, where's the ROI?
I think it's in, like, maintaining the relationship with her A-list friends and the halo effect it has on her brand. And it's a tax deductible expense for having a very lavish party.
Guess what the kicker is? You see these pictures, you're like, ooh, I wonder what the Glow Cream is. It's not, you can't buy it. It's not open, it's not available yet.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like she just wanted to have a party.
Yeah.
Call, like, the IRS.
I saw some influencer posting, like, so it's like the fashion crowd came out to toast the new Glow Cream. I'm like, toasting the new Glow Cream? Like, what? We have lost the plot when we're toasting a Glow Cream. What is toasting a Glow Cream?
Justin Theroux, like, will influence me to do nothing. Like, I don't care that he's there.
It's random.
It's random. And then we have our girl, Victoria Beckham, again, who everybody raves about her products.
She developed them with Melanie Grant, the facialist in LA, right?
Her skincare? Angela Neal of Glossier is, I believe, her head of product development.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she used Melanie Grant.
Who I always thought was destined for greatness. A consummate professional.
But why is Victoria in the news?
She had her 50th birthday party where the Spice Girls reunited. They did the Stop Right Now dance with David Beckham filming them. Tom Cruise was randomly there. And then Eva Longoria and God knows who else.
Are the Beckham Scientologists?
That's a great question.
I feel like they have dabbled. They've definitely been on the cans. I'll tell you that much.
I wonder if Scientology like takes a little check here and there to do like just some contract work. Guest star.
Okay, can I have a hug?
We need an Evie interstitial noise.
Say hello to everyone. You have to say hello in the microphone.
Hi.
Okay.
I love her technique of just biting the top of the microphone.
Sorry. Where were we? Scientology.
So everyone walked out of the party holding big Victoria Beckham beauty gift bags.
All the guests left the party with Victoria Beckham beauty tote bags?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Salma Hayek with her like gazillionaire. I love their love, by the way.
I love their love too.
Yeah.
Because they actually seem like they're like, she married a billionaire, but they seem like they're really in love.
Yeah, and she seems cool.
Like, you'd think they were both in it for the wrong reasons. You know, like, he'd be in it for, like, this, like, hot actress, and she'd be in it for this, like, rich guy, but actually they are really hot together, and I think...
Excuse me, both things can be true.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you kind of, like, were... I was skeptical, I guess, of it, this, like, you know, idea. If, like, there was a trend of, like... Well, there was a trend of like supermodels marrying billionaires or having babies with billionaires. Like Linda Evangelista has a baby with a billionaire. I want to say like, doesn't Elle McPherson have a baby with a billionaire?
God knows.
There's a few. Naomi Campbell's dated all these like oligarchs, allegedly oligarchs.
She had her own baby though.
She has two
of them. Two.
Mm-hmm. I think she just had another. Anyway, where were we with Victoria Beckham Beauty?
I was just saying they had excellent product placement amongst the elite.
Is it racist that I can't tell the difference between Victoria Beckham Beauty and Gucci Westman Atelier?
Yes.
That's racist.
That is. Yeah.
No. They're the same brand to me.
No, not at all. Victoria Beckham is more glam. Westman Atelier is very like quiet.
But girl. Is the packaging kind of looks the same?
I don't know. I'm not like so familiar with Victoria Beckham's packaging. I don't know why. I don't know why I haven't ordered it. It never crosses my purview on the internet, in the stores. Where do they even carry it?
I actually have no clue.
But it's doing really well. I've seen the numbers.
Where?
I've seen several headlines, which I couldn't read because they were paywalled, but they're apparently, if we're talking about M&A deals, luxury beauty brands such as Victoria Beckham. She's like the dark horse brand that like might get a really big buyout. Is that the right term? Or is it?
Yeah, I mean, this is sounding familiar. Are you sure you're not talking about Westman Atelier though?
I swear to God. I mean, maybe Westman Atelier too. I've heard their numbers are great as well. I think I read something that in Sephora specifically, they've been doing very well.
I heard that Westman Atelier was doing really well. Agreed.
It surprised me because I think they're really quiet and I don't know. I couldn't tell you like what they're, and I know they're clean and I know their packaging is very expensive and heavy, but in terms of the formulas, I couldn't really tell you their point of view.
I had another conversation to have, speaking of influencers.
Okay.
There's a new TikTok account, new to me, I should say, that I think is so good. and it's the Lipstick Lesbians. As far as I can tell, the Lipstick Lesbians is really, maybe one is holding the camera and one is on camera. I imagine that they're in a relationship, though I could be making that part up. And they're cosmetic, she's a cosmetic chemist, or rather she's a product developer. And so she goes around kind of like a, she could be like a cast member on Real Housewives of New Jersey. Like she's kind of like, yo, you know what I mean? And she's like, but she has a really, really incredible ability, informed by years and years of experience, to like explain the difference in products and why certain products are more expensive than others and how you're getting like price per gram. Like she'll go into like the nitty gritty of like why certain makeup products are better than others. She'll review things. And I find her content to be so informative and interesting. And it's all makeup. It's, she doesn't do skincare, but I just think I love her point of view because, and I think this is sort of the conceit of the account. It's like, she doesn't, she's not a makeup girly, but she like loves it. So I can relate to that because I don't wear makeup except for lots of self-tanning.
She is a makeup girly.
Yeah, but she's not like a glamazon makeup girl. Like she doesn't do a full beat. Do you know what I mean? Like she's not someone who's wear, like when I think of a makeup girly, I think of like Nikki Tutorials or makeup, makeup by Shayla and like people like that.
I would consider myself a makeup girly.
Yeah, but you wear makeup. Like when you look, have you seen Lipstick Lesbians?
Yes, she wears way more makeup day to day than I do.
Really?
Yeah.
She just like, she seems like she's in it for the love of the industry and like the passion for like the product versus getting dolled up or like, you know. But am I wrong? Am I, is that the male gaze in me talking?
I think that everything you're saying is correct. I think for me personally, if I'm just like speaking from my own experience, which is valid,
100%.
I find I've been served her videos lately, their videos lately, and I find them to be very hectic because they film them in the Sephora. Like she's
no,
just
she's,
grabbing.
She started doing ones in studio.
Oh, okay, thank God. Because the ones I've seen, they're in a Sephora. It's like prime shopping hour. I don't know, like
all the Gen Zers are like ruining the displays.
They're, but she's also like, I can't imagine like just going to Sephora trying to like pick something up really quick, and then they're like filming content like with the testers, and I don't know.
But it's really good.
The testers and like, it's too stressful for me.
I wanna be friends with her. I want her on the podcast.
I respect her expertise. Do not like the production value of the videos.
Well, you should check out her new. Yeah, she's evolving. I have another story. Allegedly, Kim Kardashian's private equity fund, Sky Partners with 2 K's, is having quote unquote difficulty raising funds, according to Axios. It wanted to raise $1 to $2 billion, but by the end of March, so a year after it launched, it had only raised $121 million. 80 million of that was just for a minority investment in Truff, the truffle hot sauce. So essentially, out of $1 to $2 billion, they've only raised 40 million for the general fund.
Yikes.
And
why do we think that is?
So the article, the Axios story, and then some of the other pieces I'm reading in the Ankler are talking about it's more tied to like the trend of the lack of interest in private equity, consumer private equity funds, and that like a lot of private equity funds aren't even investing in consumer products anymore. Like it's just not trendy right now. It's not seen as like good investments. So like they're kind of suffering from a trend that is not just about them. I think the other thoughts are that if you have Kim Kardashian tied to your success, then when you sell the brand, she exits the brand. How are you going to ensure continued growth and success without Kim?
But I thought that the fund, I thought that that's the point of her having a fund. It's like she's not tied to the brands. She's just funding them.
Well, I don't think anyone feels like that in and of itself is valuable then. I think they find the whole,
if she wanted to give me money.
Industry is valuable.
Her money is just as green as fucking, who's the...
Well, no, I know.
Josh
right.
Kushner. Like,
of course.
Who, agreed. By the way, owns every magazine now.
Agreed. But I'm just saying that with Kim, I've seen this a lot in what I do is that, you know, investors are not us, right? They are a different type, a different age, a different demographic of person, generally speaking. And I think that when they see, I mean, you know this. When they see a woman, let alone Kim
Don't
Kardashian.
Don't tell me what I know.
Like, they see a certain thing. No matter what you're telling them, like, you know, the LPs, the people that would invest in the fund are seeing, oh, like, I would invest in Kim Kardashian's fund versus someone else's because I get the halo of Kim Kardashian in the brands. Like, she's going to help ensure their success, right?
Yeah, but that's all fake.
Well, clearly. I thought it was interesting that they're having trouble raising the full round, that investors aren't, you know, that I guess their reluctance to invest in consumer private equity is overwhelming their interest in Kim Kardashian, or their belief that like anything the Kardashians touch turns to gold, you know?
Yeah, I think that they've proven, unfortunately, that not everything they touch turns to gold. I mean, Kai, there's like, I would say like 50% of the brands launched from the Kardashian family have done very well, like Good American, Skims, 818, I imagine is doing well. Somebody was saying, who was it? Maybe it was somebody that said I couldn't say this, but good for you. I can't remember who it was. Kylie Cosmetics is not doing well.
No. So there's, I mean, Coty bought most of it a few years ago. And I think the industry chatter has been about like, what do you do with that brand? Like, what is it? Like, what is its point of view? Why does, you know, I think it was hot because it was D2C and it was sold out. And it was sort of at the moment where she kind of burst onto the cultural scene. After that, like, I could see Kylie Cosmetics being like the new Wet n Wild. Like, if they figured out a way to make the economics of like really, 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 really cheap, fast fashion, you know, beauty work, but it's not that inexpensive. And I think that Kylie sees herself as a luxury brand. So I think that, you know, clearly
unfortunately,
she wants
too,
Kai.
For her, Halsey has already done that.
Yes, at Walmart. But I think, like, whenever I see those brands like going into Walmart or Target, I'm like, and maybe this is because I'm coastal elite in a bubble, but I'm always like, I want to give Wet n Wild and like Milani like run for its money. Like, I don't want to fuck with like Walmart and Target. I want CVS and Walgreens and Duane Reade, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's more, and Rite Aid, like those are more fun.
Drugstore legacy brands.
Like drugstore, like where you, like Targets are, like drugstores are much more prevalent, I would imagine, than Targets and Walmarts, right? There's more.
Also, Target has just, you can tell that they are just testing and learning. Like, they're cycling through brands like constantly. You go in there and like the hot brand that you saw on TikTok 6 months ago is now like 50% off everything. Like, you can just tell it's just, they're just like throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. And then they have that weird Ulta section too, that's like roped off from the rest of the beauty section. And then they
And which one? Kohl's is in Ulta? Ulta's in Kohl's and no.
Sephora is in Kohl's. Ulta's
is
in Target.
In Kohl's and Ulta's in Target, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I find the whole shopping experience to be like quite depressing.
Okay, can I have one more story? Okay, this is for all my billionaire listeners. Do I have an opportunity for you?
Okay.
Saint Tropez, the self tanner brand, needs to be sold. The owner of Saint-Tropez, a company called PZ Cussons, is selling its flagship brand, this is according to Women's Wear Daily, as part of a wider restructuring drive aimed at slashing debt and optimizing returns against a difficult backdrop. Specifically, this company, PZ Cussons, assets are doing horribly in Nigeria, one of its largest markets, and so they have to sell Saint-Tropez.
Wait, can you repeat that? Saint-Tropez is doing poorly in Nigeria?
No. So Saint-Tropez was bought in 2010 by a company called PZ Cussons, based in the UK.
Okay. They sound like
PZ
scammers.
PZ Cussons has lots of different assets and brands, I assume. Among, you know, they're heavily invested in Nigeria.
Which, and who knows what that means?
According to the chief executive officer of PZ Cussons, Jonathan Myers, he said that the macroeconomic challenges and complexities associated with operating in Nigeria are significant. As such, we have undertaken a strategic review of our brands and geographies and have embarked on plans to transform our portfolio, refocusing on where the business can be most competitive. All of which is to say, because of troubles they're having in Nigeria, unrelated, I imagine, to Saint-Tropez, they have to sell Saint-Tropez. I think this is a huge opportunity for the right person. I think Saint-Tropez is, given that it's, they're not in a position of power, it's like they're going to sell it for whatever someone's willing to pay, because they clearly need the cash. I think it's such a powerful brand. They are self-tanner. And like with the right rebrand and the right like collaborations in the right hands, like it could be a gazillion dollar business, don't you think?
Yeah, I guess there's no luxury brand doing doing a full self-tanning range.
There was like that James Reed brand on Net-a-Porter. Remember like the white bottles with like brown lettering? Saint-Tropez looks so kind of like 2010. Like it's very, remember those hair gummies that the Kardashians used to promote?
Yeah.
It's very that, but I think that like,
I
want to buy it.
I feel like it's always felt luxury. It's always been priced as like a prestige brand. And they were the first to do like the tan towels.
I'm just saying, as a customer, it doesn't feel like you're like not buying something chic and cool. You're buying like a, it feels very like a salon brand, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they should like go the way of Guerlain in terms of branding.
Yeah.
Like or, a new chic.
Yeah. And like, I
you know
think
what?
They have
I'm
a lot of innovation kind of and seeing. I just like, I just want people to, I feel like someone should buy it. If you're listening, please someone take the opportunity to buy Saint-Tropez and let's turn it into the next billion-dollar brand.
Can we speculate for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of sun care brands, what's going on with Vacation? Why did they just launch like 18 products at the same time? Are they trying to sell?
Grow. I think they're probably trying to grow. I mean, you and I both are friends with the founders and I think they're really smart and I think that they closed a round recently of financing where I think the goal is to like achieve profitability. They opened Ulta, like they expanded in Ulta. I feel like they opened in Target, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Maybe in the Ulta and the Targets.
Maybe. Good question. Good point. And I can only imagine that they're under just a lot of pressure to perform and to find products where the margins are really, really good. You know, I think I just saw someone forwarded me, they have like a makeup self, you know, like a complexion kind of product, like a drop that it's like a bronzing sheer foundation kind of thing.
I've held on to my favorite product like that.
Okay, I'll keep talking. I forget what it's called, but it is definitely like a makeup product. And I think that, and they launched Orange Gelée, the iconic orange colored tanning like,
I agree
gel.
With every product that they're making. I do think that there does need to be a cooling sunscreen. I've tried to develop it before and, like, couldn't get the formula right. If anybody can, menthol and sunscreen, just do it, please. Dakota, you can have that, but you will need to. I want $2. I want $2 from every unit sold until we reach the 5 million mark, and then I'll drop it to $1. That's my final offer.
The okay, Sharks, this is the product that they launched that I saw. It's called Studio Tone SPF 50, quote, the makeup artist's 3-in-1 secret. It
SPF 50, that's great.
Yeah, SPF 50.
I didn't realize it had sun protection in it.
And it has an instant bronze glow, and it also nourishes with acids and ceramides and collagen peptides.
This is my version of that, except it has no sunscreen, and I'm really sad that they discontinued. I love Guerlain. Am I the only one?
I feel like in France, people are obsessed with it.
I'll take anything they make. The meteorites, the bronzers. They can do no wrong. And Clarins and Sisley. Listen, I'm an old hag. But this was a product. Guerlain Terracotta Le Eau Halée. And I think it's just, it's tanning, it's liquid bronzer that comes with a squeeze pipette.
Does it have shimmer?
And no. It's just a sheer water. But it's discontinued. I don't know if you can find it.
Terracotta, what is it called?
Leu, L apostrophe E-A-U.
Le.
Halée.
Halée. Oh, okay, Leu. Found it. It's on eBay for $109. Cooling bronzing water?
Ooh, I didn't know it was cooling. I haven't used it in so long.
Is that the one?
I mean, send me a link. I'll tell you.
I feel like they did discontinue it.
They did. This is from the end of the gloss, like, product drawers. I think I said before it was above the Container Store. The office was above the Crate and Barrel.
Correct.
Which are basically one and the same. No offense, but...
Oh, you know why you like Guerlain? Is guess who, like, the creative director of makeup is? Violette.
I mean, I like Violette. I have nothing against her, but I wouldn't consider her like my like person.
But I feel like she knows what she's doing with makeup. Okay, so you can buy it on eBay for $109.
I think you should do it. I don't think you'll regret it.
I mean, I don't know if I can justify that.
Nick, come on.
I'll think about it.
Like, Evie doesn't need... What?
I don't know. It looks really good, though.
I would send it to you, but this is from my like special protected inventory.
Okay. Is that your product of the week? Not that we're there yet. Just wondering.
No. I actually brought several to describe my whole look that I have on because I realized, I have the perfect like summery makeup combo for everyone listening. We would be remiss, Nick, to not talk about the biggest beauty story of the week, as reported on Emily Sundberg's Substack.
You launched a Substack?
I launched a I realized long-form writing is
in.
A muscle that must be built, stretched, maintained, foam rolled. And I have been just pumping iron with it for the past 6 months, and I need another outlet, you know? Yep. Instagram does not cut it anymore. Instagram, in fact, gives me the heebie-jeebies. I'll just say it.
And so you are going on Substack. You're taking,
yeah,
you're
I'm just going to write. I'm just going to write. Let's write. I don't even know how to really use the CMS. So I know you can add photos and like customize banners and things like that. I don't know that I'll ever get there. Although Emily did offer me a tutorial session, which I will very much take her up on.
I read every word of Emily Sundberg's newsletter. I don't know. I've never met Emily, but it's really, it's really good. It's like she's in my head.
I can't figure out how to pay her, but I need to because every time I scroll, to read it, it's like it stops.
You're
me.
Not
it
a
says
paying
you have to
subscriber.
Pay to... I subscribe to her, and
as
then
as a fellow Substacker, you're trying to get it for free. You think you're entitled. You think that it should be free. You think that content should be free. I bet you're like using Napster to get your
music. Think of all the free content I've given people over the years. It's time. It's time people give me some content for free.
It's true. Oh, the other story that we didn't talk about because we probably don't care that much is Greg Renfrew, the former CEO and founder.
Oh, no, we need to talk about this because
Greg Renfrew, the former CEO.
I was too scared to do that episode. We need to give the full story. Nick did a whole takedown of Beauty Counter.
Beauty Counter is a brand that was founded by Greg Renfrew with two G's, a woman named Greg. It was acquired by the Carlyle Group a few years ago, and this week it was announced that Greg, is buying the brand out of foreclosure.
Sounds like the Carlyle Group really screwed the pooch on that.
Well, it's like, okay, you're like invested in like military technology and Supreme. And like women's makeup.
MLM.
Yeah,
this MLM is makeup. This is actually Illuminati shit.
I know. This actually, we probably shouldn't even be talking about this. I did do a takedown episode where I spoke to one of the reps from Truth in Advertising about the dangers of companies like Beauty Counter and their marketing to disadvantaged people, telling them that they can, you know, get rich working from home, you know, by selling these products when it's not as realistic as they're led to believe, or they're honestly as realistic as they're told.
Which is kind of the assumption about every MLM.
I mean, MLM as a model is predatory.
Right. Is it considered a pyramid scheme?
It's the definition of a pyramid scheme.
Then why do the companies exist? How can they exist at all? Because pyramid schemes are illegal.
Okay. This is according to the Attorney General of New York's website. The difference between a pyramid scheme and a multi-level marketing company are that a legitimate multi-level marketing company emphasizes reliable products or services, while a pyramid scheme uses products or services to disguise its quest for collecting money from investors on the bottom levels to pay other investors further up the pyramid. And pyramid schemes are doomed to fail because their success depends on the ability to recruit more and more investors. Since there are only a limited number of people in a given community, all pyramid schemes ultimately collapse. Legitimate multi-level marketing companies, on the other hand, can be around for a long time. Although the recruiting of additional investors is an essential part of the marketing practice, since legitimate multi-level marketing companies have solid products or services, participants in these companies are not subject to huge losses. But
yeah. Define solid products.
I guess it's like pyramid schemes are literally like fake. It's like products. It's not about the product. And like multi-level marketing companies, legitimate ones, are product companies that use pyramid schemes as a way to, business model.
So what I was saying about this YouTuber, I guess she was looking at some sort of Facebook group God knows what, or was just looking at the social media postings of some of the women who were direct sellers. So some of the contractors, I guess, of Beauty Counter. And I guess they were all let go at a single time. They were sent an email. She even had the email pulled up. That was it was obviously written by like legal. It didn't have like an edit to be personable at all. It was very cut and dry. It was like, you're being terminated.
This is the new CEO after Greg left and it was acquired by Carlyle.
No, this happened now, like this week after Greg bought back the company. They fired all of the sales reps. I think, I don't know what's happening with the corporate team, but they fired all the sales reps in like one fell swoop. They sent them this like strongly worded email from legal saying that like, you know, you'll get paid whatever commission you're owed, but you're not allowed to represent the company anymore, la, 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 la. And I guess like there were a lot of complaints from these sales reps saying, you know, this is how I feed my family and, you know, whatever, whatever. So some of these women, I guess, are making meaningful money doing this. I can't imagine it's a large percentage.
That's the whole thing with MLM, is that like they use the instances, like the very, very, very rare instances of enormous success to recruit new members.
And I think from what I know about kind of my interactions with Beauty Counter and Greg over the years, it's like, it's hard to say that she was trying to take advantage of like women by setting her company up in this way with sales reps, because I think one, she believed that it would work and that word of mouth selling is like incredibly powerful for beauty. And it is. In fact, a lot of brands, Glossier included, have tried to set up similar models, like, you know, selling
but not commission-based, recruiting-based.
They had a whole team recruiting people to sell products. So, they would get a percentage. But it was more like an affiliate link model was set up.
Correct. It's not like I'm buying inventory and selling it.
No. So I think, from what I know about the company is they were moving away from that model anyway. I mean, they were going into third-party retailers and like selling direct. So the end of the sales rep time for Beauty Counter has been a long time in the making. Anyway, Greg, if you're listening, feel free to send me a strongly worded email correcting all the mistakes. But it was weird. A lot of the complaints too were that Greg didn't acknowledge that she was the reason, she was the one who purchased the company back, and it was her decision to cut all the reps. But I don't know. I think that they're kind of like holding her feet to the fire in a way that like they don't really need to. They're like, take accountability. And it's like, she's buying her company back from Carlyle, who was the one who drove it into the ground. She has to make some like difficult decisions and like let people go. But I don't know. It was like they wanted her to really like fall on the sword for it.
This is interesting. I'm like looking, I didn't know this. This was kind of a buried story that Beauty Counter fired all of its reps this week.
What? Not when you have Diamond Kriegbaum on the case.
No. Interesting. Well, let's see what happens. Maybe she's like totally abandoning that model. TBD.
Also, can we just talk about how Coachella is just basically, what's that big beauty conference that happens every year that's like customer facing?
BeautyCon?
Yeah, it's basically BeautyCon, except for like more brands than just beauty. And people are paying to like go to like marketing, experiential marketing like tents for the whole weekend. It's like genius. This is not a music festival. I've never been to Coachella, so like, sorry, but I have been to a lot of music festivals. I mean, I lived in Austin. I went to college in Austin and was essentially, I mean, I deny that I was a groupie because my boyfriend was in the band, but lived that lifestyle very much and went to a lot of like, you know, like Psych Fest when it was at the power plant, and then it grew every year, and then it ended up in like this big field, and like there was no marketing whatsoever. It was so purely about the music and the drugs and the people, and I remember like ACL, I think I went one year, and it was just, why do people enjoy going to events like that where it's just like branded?
I've never had fun at a concert.
Have you ever been to a music festival?
Mm-hmm. I went to Coachella 2008. Prince was the headliner. Number one, the thing they don't tell you about Coachella is that it's on a polo field, which means that it smells like horse shit. Period. Everywhere. And it's hot. And it's the desert. So it's a desert. You know, I didn't spend 40 years in the desert.
Yeah, I don't like having to 40 years in the desert.
You know what I mean? For like a DJ set. Like Tiesto or whatever.
Oh, happy Passover.
Thank you. Can I say something that's controversial? But I felt really conflicted about celebrating Passover this year, and in particular about like posting any like social media content about Passover, because I was worried that it would be construed as like pro-Israel or pro-Zionist or Like, I think that, unfortunately, the pro-Israel content is a sort of, it's kind of like a racist dog whistle, like in a really shitty way.
That's unfortunate. And so, I mean, so much media now is like so influenced by like Trumpian.
Yeah, it feels like in the discourse talking about, you know, it's.
Even people that consider themselves like leftists or do something that's like completely non-political, they're taking tactics from Trump, like outright lying, playing the victim to like create narratives about themselves. And like, it's really bizarre.
Because it didn't align with like my personal beliefs, but like I didn't want to seem. It's weird. It's a weird moment. It's a tragic moment, but obviously that goes without saying. But it's also a bizarre moment to be a cultural Jew when you're like, I want to celebrate Passover, but I'm not celebrating anything that's happening or that has happened.
Well, I think that's a shame that you feel like you can't celebrate your religion without it being politicized. And I think that,
I mean, I'm going to be fine, but
no, but I think it's true for a lot of people. I think a lot of people are scared to, I mean, I think a lot of Jewish people are like uncomfortable in New York right now. I don't know.
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, it's bizarre watching a war and a centuries old conflict play out on a 10-year-old, you know, media, right? Or like 15-year-old media, social media, you know?
Things are getting weird. A woman I follow, I had to like do a double take. So I was like, hold on. And I get it being very militant in terms of, like, I get like a lot, especially a lot of the like South American and Central American uprisings, like, there was a lot of militant support for people that were not necessarily good guys, but were fighting the good fight.
Or the fight that the U.S., that aligned with the U.S.'s interest. Should we start a geopolitical podcast?
I would be comfortable with that. I would just have to call, I would just have to call my brother like 10 minutes before every show and be like, give me my opinions on all these things. Should we have my brother on the podcast? It would be
yes.
Very funny.
Also, you know what my opinion is? Number one, I probably shouldn't speak on any of it. And number two, like, I think everyone, no one wins. And it's all about power and money.
Well, let me finish my story. She posted a
She
posted a pro Hamas post. And I was like, it was jarring. And I was like, I'm going to shelve that. I'm going to
compartmentalize, like tuck that away.
Yeah,
and not
I'm still
really
it,
think
it's
about
still
that.
Tucked away. I'm still kind of like about it right now because I like her a lot. But
the way that Hamas has won lots of hearts and minds and sort of transformed their narrative into this like freedom fighter narrative is
there's only one explanation, and that is, who is Taylor Swift's publicist?
Tree Payne.
She's also, there's no way that she's not doing Hamas's publicity.
Oh, you know what else she probably did?
What?
Pomegranate juice.
What's
it's
your
sugar.
Problem with pomegranate?
It's just sugar. And remember when pomegranate juice was like the new health food? It was like, don't do anything besides drink pomegranate juice. And guess what? Turns out pomegranate juice is not a cure-all. It's actually going to give you diabetes if you drink enough of it.
Well, Nick, you know me. I'm on Banana Island. I've been here for weeks. Oh, I did say I'm really happy for the Arnault family, the Nepo babies, like all getting jobs at LVMH.
The Arnault sons.
Arnault. God, me and the French language. Yeah, they all have like very powerful positions at the
and they're the richest people in the world, and they're sexy AF.
Can I just say, money does not buy you happiness.
True, but these guys are also sexy. Here's, speaking of money and happiness, how do you feel about Keith McNally, restaurateur of Balthazar, etc., talking? saying the craziest shit on his Instagram about Lauren Sanchez.
About our queen, Lauren Sanchez?
Yeah.
I do and not then like it.
Joanna Coles, who's just bought the Daily Beast, former editor-in-chief of Marie Claire and big up at Hearst, and she produced that show, The Bold Type. She cool. is now running the Daily Beast, and she said that as a response to Keith McNally's takedown or attempted sort of embarrassing of Lauren Sanchez, she was hiring a chief Lauren Sanchez correspondent.
I just think, like, why, like, what is going on in his life where he's sitting there being like, I have to comment on how this woman looks?
Here's what I think. I think that Keith McNally does not, I don't think he cares. I think that he had a stroke several years ago, I believe. And
okay.
I know. I think he's literally like has no fucks left. I'm saying he has no fucks left. Oh, no, I'm not saying
it's blaming their
it's
bad cognitive. Behavior on their
No.
Brain
I'm not
diseases.
Saying that. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that it's cognitive. I'm saying that he had a really intense and traumatic like health experience where he sort of was looking death in the eye. And I think this is entirely my opinion that he was sort of like,
he just went full nihilist.
He just like, yeah, like full no filter. Like any thought he has, he like puts on his Instagram. He also like continually supports Woody Allen, even when like he is not even promoting something. He'll be like, you know who I do welcome at Balthazar? Woody Allen. It's like, Keith, no one is talking about Woody Allen right now. You know what I mean? Like, and he's like,
I saw Harvey Weinstein in there the other day.
Exactly.
Allegedly. But
he's a New Yorker. In, I think though he maybe full-time lives in London, but he's a New Yorker to me in that he is just a fucking asshole.
He's
doesn't
a curmudgeon.
Give a fuck. Yeah.
Well, we all know who's going to be the Keith McNally.
Yeah. And he like,
our generation.
He like, well, he just like, will talk shit about his own customer. Like he is just a New York. It's kind of like that, you know, it's sort of like in the vein of the soup Nazi. You know what I mean?
But is that the legacy he wants to leave? I'm like, if I had a near-death experience, I'm probably going to try to, like, make up with people who I don't even need to make up with just so, like, nobody remembers.
I don't think
like,
he thinks it's that. I think he punches upward. I think that he would probably – I think his reasoning would be he punches up, not down. Okay. So, okay. like, the you know, Jeff Bezos and his wife can take a few punches.
So this you know, is him being like an anti-capitalist activist.
Kind of. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know if I ever shared my theory on how like Lauren Sanchez is single-handedly like ending old money aesthetic and like now it's all new money aesthetic. It's like mob wife, like tacky, like look at me, look at me, look at me. Like that is unfortunately.
To me, it's the lack of self-awareness you have to have as a human to be Chrissy Teigen commenting on Keith McNally's Instagram of Lauren Sanchez saying she's actually like a wonderful person. And this is like a really like unfortunate thing that you did. It's like, Chrissy, you literally DM'd someone and told them to kill themselves like a few years ago. I don't think you're the person to make this comment. You know what I mean?
People grow, they change.
I agree, but I mean...
Nick just censored me for the record.
You know, I think I would.
You know
like
who
to...
wouldn't stand for that? Andrew Kriegbaum, union leader. He started a fucking union.
I was gonna say, I thought you meant Keith McNally wouldn't stand for that. He'd be
for
calling
censoring?
Me out. Yeah, you should call me out on your Instagram. Be like that ugly fuck, whatever he said about like. Here's
like
what I think. I think that the world and life is hard. In varying degrees for every single human, right? Because you only have your experience. So like your low is going to be different than someone else's low and same thing with highs. You know, I decided when I was 25 years old or 24 and I was a reporter for MemoPad at Women's Wear Daily, which was like the media gossip column. I remember being told that I wasn't doing a good job. I was only doing my job if I got an angry phone call in the morning from someone who like didn't want that news to be out or didn't like how I reported on something. And at first that's like very exciting, you know, to be like to be interacting with like super high profile and powerful people, very quickly what I realized is like we all have such a limited amount of time in our days and on this earth, and like to put out, even if it's fun and funny for me, I was like, I just don't want to put out negative things. Like, it's just not, it doesn't make my heart happy. Mm-hmm. Like, I consume it. Like, I'm, yep. And I'm a, you know, red-blooded American.
Also a problem.
Go yeah, on. I consume it, but I just like was like, you know what? Like, I just don't, this doesn't ultimately feel like my, what I want my contribution to be.
Yeah.
And I hope that on this podcast, I don't think, I hope it doesn't feel like we're just being snarky and taking things down.
I hope so too. No, I don't. I mean, I do have sometimes anxiety about that. Like, oh, I hope that wasn't taken the wrong way. Or, but no, I think we're fine.
I try to like.
We have good. It's all about your intentions, you know?
Yeah. And just my disclaimer is that I don't know anything and I don't mean anything I say. And you know what I mean?
We can all do better. Here's what can I tell you something I learned from Lindsay Lohan and Olivia Singer, both
please.
Incredibly famous media personalities. When I was at Lindsay Lohan's townhome in London with Olivia, hanging out, interviewing her, I learned the phrase, keep my side of the street clean. And
is that like alternate side street parking? Like what's...
That is, I believe it's from a 12-step program. I think it's from AA. And it just means mind your business and keep your side of the street clean. Like, you know, like keep your world positive.
Yeah.
Don't put any trash out there. And if you do, like clean it up. And that's all you can do. And that similarly, and that ultimately yeah. is like how you can feel comfortable that you are a good person. You know?
Similarly, my dad once gave me the advice, or not advice, but just like the context of like you put when you go to bed, you put your head down on the pillow and you wake up as Nick Axelrod. Like you don't have to like you can't and take on anyone else's like way that they exist and go through life. The only person you have responsibility for or can be when your head hits the pillow is like you.
Oh, that's so funny. That's a much nicer interpretation of that than like, I think, I don't know if it was my mom that said it before about somebody who's just a horrible human or what, but she was like, you know what, Annie, you get to wake up every day as you, and she has to wake up every day as her.
But it's the same idea, which is a small, I think it's like a helpful thing to think about is like, sure, X person has done X and is making you feel bad about X, you know what I mean? But ultimately,
yeah,
you put your head on the pillow as you.
But my problem is, I think that it's meant to say like, oh, the person knows that they're a bad person. And so they have to wake up every day with that cloud hanging over their head. But I think, unfortunately, what I've learned is that people that do bad
don't know
things are diluted enough to think that, like, their truth is the only truth and true at all, for that matter. you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're expecting the metaphor or whatever it is to, like, be about, like, self. Realization when I think it's more about in the context of like humanity, you know, like your contribution, like the only thing you can, that you have is your, the way you exist in the world and like the way you contribute, you have no power and you have no responsibility nor say over how someone else contributes to the world. So like whether or not they realize what they're doing, if what they're putting out is not what you harm. Want to put out, then you don't put it yeah. out.
Yeah. Be the bigger person. Be the, what does Michelle Obama
mean,
say?
I don't know if I believe in being the bigger person because I've always, I feel like, been the bigger person and I regret it.
I've always just tried to deal in like facts and truths. And what I realized is that is not how people like to
No, they like deal like in emotion and hearsay.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And like, I've thought that like, you know, in arguments, it gets heated and like people have said like crazy shit to me. And then I just like, don't, I like bite my tongue to be the bigger mm-hmm. person. I regret it.
That's, oh, you regret it.
I wish I hadn't. I wish I had just also said the crazy hurtful thing. Because really? Like, nice guys finish last. I don't know. We're throwing out a lot of differing angles of life advice here at the end of this episode, but nice guys finish last, but they probably get the best sleep.
I think as when I was younger, I did have it in me to really just unleash on, especially like, I don't know. I'll just say it. My poor ex, Brayden. We used to have just like knockout, drag out. Like
your poor ex, what?
Brayden.
Oh. But
because we also lived together. We lived together. We worked together. We were like out of the precipice of our careers. Like it was just very high stress. And we almost like, you know, it was truly like a, it was almost like how I would fight with my brother. Like it was so like we knew each other that well in a way. And yeah, there were like very mean words exchanged on both sides. It was really funny.
So what do you want to say to him if he's listening?
Well, he knows that I love him and like would do anything for him. And the feeling's mutual. And, you know, then I think he's like a very good person and that's that. But I don't know what point I'm trying to make. But now I realize like the feeling of getting that like dig in or insulting someone is, yeah, sometimes you like fantasize about like saying the funniest, like most cutting thing. But then after the fact, it's like the guilt is just not worth it. I think it's just, I would never want to be that person.
I've never had the experience of like getting in the thing. And like, I kind of wish I did.
You've never had like a...
I always like my instinct is to shut down, not to like react.
Yeah, me too. Although
that's not healthy.
Can't, like,
I'm not saying that's any healthier.
My thing is like if somebody is being cruel to me, I don't necessarily have to be cruel back, but I will say like stop. Like I will be like, I recognize this behavior and like you need to stop. And I'm like not here for it and like this is a boundary, but that doesn't work. I mean that is really frustrating to people. I'm cool with leaving the situation too. That was funny. Whenever my mom and I would get in fights, I would always be like, I need to go. I'm going to go to my room and like shut the door. And I think she realized like later years, like, oh, that's actually probably like a healthy thing to do. But she did not like that.
You set a boundary with your mother.
Crazy.
Did I tell you when I like shushed Evie and she was fully triggered?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Listen oh. to women is all I can say. And with that, should we go to product of the week?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I talked about this last week or someone, maybe you were the one who mentioned it, the Saint-Tropez bronzing water face mist.
No.
As you know, I've been looking for self-tanner and I found this one called Purity. For natural glowing skin, essentially what it is a super fine mist that feels really light. Like it's not droplets. It's like a really, really fine mist. You put it on, you know, 5 minutes before you go to bed and there's no streaking. It doesn't collect around your beard or your eyebrows or your hairline because it's such a fine
cutie,
mist.
Cutie, I think this was your product of the week the last time we did this.
No, I think it was the drops.
Okay.
And I don't think I had this last week.
I thought we talked about the droplets being so small that they like give you perfect coverage.
Oh geez, I don't remember.
Can shout it be out my... again if you really
I
like
it.
Like I'm not gonna stop
I love it
you,
because
so.
It's like such a fine mist. And so I was using the Isle of Paradise drops that you like put into your moisturizer. But like still, and it's a gradual tanning thing, but still after a few mm-hmm. days, like your eyebrows would kind of look a little discolored and like around your hairline, just because like when you're smoothing something on with your hands in a moisturizer, it's not evenly distributed around your, across your face. But this is literally like going to one of those like fine mist booths, but in a little spray bottle. And the genius is that you can put it on while like 10 minutes before you go to bed. It dries completely. It, a very light layer. It's like any kind of like a face mist. And then there's
like, no, do you put it on over your skincare or are you just not?
It doesn't matter. It's like it's absorbed by your cells or, you know, it's like dyeing your cells or whatever like that sugar derivative does. But it works really well.
Okay. And what's it called again? Can you say the name?
It's called the Saint-Tropez Self Tan Bronzing Water. It has so many different names on it. Says natural. It's called Natural Glowing Skin Saint-Tropez Self Tan Purity Bronzing Water Face Mist.
Do you know how much it is?
I think I did mention it, or someone, maybe $33. You know what? It's also this week. I love it. What do you got?
I am also in like a bronzy state at the moment.
I mean, it's about to be summer.
Hell yeah. And you know what? I'm not even going to lie. I've been out in the sun getting some color. And I also have a corrections corner because I think I was a little harsh about Glossier Cloud Paint a few episodes ago. And I recommended Cheek Heat in the color Rose Vibrant, which I still stand by. And as we all know, the formula can vary between shades of any product.
Let's get the lipstick lesbians talking about that.
Let's get them on. I needed a baby pink blush and I saw that Puff Cloud Paint sitting in my drawer and I said, it's your time. And I patted some on. Perfect. Perfect amount of pigment. Perfect baby cool pink. And you need one of those for summer because it is the perfect contrast with a glowy bronze look. For my glowy bronze, I like to use our friends at Westman Atelier, their biscuit. I think they call it a contour stick, not a contour stick, too warm. It's a bronzer. And I put it, you know, on the high points of my forehead around people that use fucking bronzer as contour.
Why is that bad? Well,
yes, it's so contour, the whole theory behind contour is it is a shadow. So you need to be using grays. You need to be using colors that are cool neutrals. You don't need to be like, you can't use an orangey bronze. An orangey bronze is, where does an orangey bronze develop on your face? Where the sun hits it, not where the sun does not hit in the contours. Like it just, people are just, it's really crazy how like the skin, the beauty influencer community has like all agreed to disinformation. Do warm like this. Colors. This is what I mean, like in the Trump era.
Misinformation.
Fake news. So Westman Atelier bronzer and then Puff Cloud Paint on the cheeks, on the apples, high apples, and then this little guy, which I actually regretted buying because I was like, I don't like the formula. It's like too, it's neither here nor there. But then I used it and I was like, I love the formula. It's everything. And it is the Surratt Lid Lacquer in Coquecha. And it is a bronzy. It is like a greeny bronzy. And when I say green, like
taupe, like true taupe.
Yeah.
Or like khaki, it's not khaki.
Yeah. Like it's not very warm except for the fact that it does have some gold shimmer, but the formula is like, it's called a lid lacquer. And I would agree. It's like not sticky. It's not going to stay. It is definitely going to like get warm and move around on your lids. So just this can kind of be the only like color that you put on your lids, but I'm wearing it now and I think it's just like, and it stays nice. I wore it yesterday all day too and it like,
is it sticky?
No, it feels like lip balm on your eyelids. I love it and I will never make it through all of this ever. It's such a big little compact,
too big, the lipstick lesbians might say.
Finally, this is a product I brought back from my last trip to Tokyo, and it is the A.Pieu Juicy Pang Glossy Jelly Highlighter. And I'm normally a little skeptical of these like jelly formulas, but it's not like a bouncy jelly.
Have you talked to Alexis Page about this?
No, why? Does she not like bouncy
that,
stuff?
That name alone will excite her.
What do you mean? She likes jelly or she doesn't like?
Just like that, that texture sounds
she
right
likes
up her alley. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it's not aerated, but it's like very, it still has that kind of like fluffy consistency, but it's very wet and it's still a cream. And it is this beautiful champagne colored highlighter, but the pearl or whatever, the reflective pigment in it is so small that it truly is like almost like a metallic paint. And I just kind of put it more towards the inside of the eye. And it's just so glossy.
Now, if you're not going to Tokyo anytime soon, how can you get your hands on this?
I think you could probably find it on Yes Style or Olive Young. And it is in shade number 4, I think. I don't know. The bottom's all in Japanese. So that's my story. I also love using Puff on the lips. I'll do like a little neutral lip liner to, and then pat Puff on the lips too, so you get that baby pink all over. I just think it's like just the perfect summer, and then black mascara and you're good to go.
You heard it here first. Please follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/eyewitnessbeauty. We make this for the love of the game without any advertising, and if we want to keep it that way, we got to really get some more Patreon subscribers, because essentially you're just paying for the production of this podcast. You're not paying for us to go on a booze cruise or anything. Then we wanted to say that Eyewitness Beauty is produced by Jonathan Corman, a friend of the pod. AJ Mosley is our editor, a sweet, sweet man. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode.
Bye. I love you.